Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Friday. And we're gonna have an opportunity now to really dig into a topic. You know, we talked on the show multiple times about how the Biden administration's green agenda is actually driving certain things to take place in a regulatory fashion that is beyond anything we've ever seen, to the extent that it is getting all up in your appliances. We're talking everything from dishwashers and water heaters and, you know, ceiling fans and God knows what else. It's not just the push for electric vehicles. It's actually a push for getting away from anything powered by anything that comes from natural resources, not the least of which is natural gas. All right, we got a guy coming on right now who's going to help me decipher some of this and wade through some of the efforts being made to sort of counteract some of this. Stuart Salters serves as the Vice President of Government Relations for the American Public Gas Association. In his current role, he manages all of APGA's engagements in legislative and regulatory affairs. Basically, he's steeped in this stuff. He eats, sleeps, drinks, and breathes regulatory matters related to public gas associations and the things they're dealing with. His background is he got a civil engineering degree from Mississippi State University. He spent time working with Chevron and their refineries in Mississippi, as well as their Pittsburgh office. And he now is where he is, trying to fight the good fight. Stuart Salters, how are you doing?
Hey, I am good, Phil. I am good. I appreciate the chance to talk to you and your listeners this afternoon on this important topic.
No, well, thanks for making time for us. My listeners are, I'll be honest with you, I got all my listeners, they refer to themselves as Right Side Ruffians. And they typically are more in tune than the average, I think. And they've been pretty up to speed because this show has been hitting on it about the war on our appliances. But you are specifically focused on the gas industry. What are y'all dealing? I mean, is there an attempt right now just to break your industry, to change the way we see our appliances in the future? I mean, tell me what you've seen most lately.
Yeah, and I think your listeners will hopefully appreciate, like you said, us fighting the good fight, because honestly, it is an attempt by this administration to take away consumers' ability to choose the appliances they want. Now, for us, I work for, like you mentioned, the American Public Gas Association, and our members are the public gas utilities around the U.S. So there's about 1,000 of them in 38 states. These are the utilities where the city or municipality or some type of local entity manages the energy distribution to their community. And so I'm more focused on those appliances that are fueled by natural gas. And there definitely is an attempt to take away the ability for at least the communities where our members operate, for their neighbors, for their friends, for their family to have that gas range, to have that gas furnace, to have that gas water heater. And it's frustrating because natural gas, it's more affordable, it's more reliable. You know, the pipes that carry this natural gas is carried underground. It's not hanging on power poles. And I'm not trying to diminish any form of energy, but we do have the statistics to show that having that buried infrastructure does make it more resilient. But yet this administration is not looking at that and going their own way with a full electrification type policy approach.
Well, and it boggles the mind, because at some point somebody has to generate the electricity, most of which happens through the burning of some form of fossil fuels, or, you know, the so-called renewables can't sustain the grid right now. So we're going to be looking at, you know, hydro being one option, but we're also looking at still having to burn coal and do other things just to generate the electricity it would take to do all the things they want to electrify. But Stuart, let me ask you, I mean, what do you think that is going to be the impact to the consumer? Where are we first going to feel it if the regulatory environment we're in is allowed to continue to advance?
Yeah, it's going to be your pocketbook. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You are taking fossil fuels because the renewable energy infrastructure isn't up to snuff just yet. And so you're literally taking the natural gas that we could use to burn directly in folks' appliances, but you're taking that and converting it to electricity. And so, you know, with that, you have an energy efficiency loss. So like you mentioned, I have an engineering degree, so I like to nerd out on some of this stuff. But if you take that molecule from the wellhead, you put it in a pipeline, you send it to a power plant, you're losing, and then the power plant converts it to electricity, puts on power lines, sends it to your house. You're losing density from that molecule, energy density from that molecule along each step of the way. You can take that same molecule, put it in a pipeline from the wellhead to the burner tip of your appliance. You don't lose anything. You're just keeping it in a pipeline. I mean, you lose a little bit, but basically you use 90% of the potential energy when you use natural gas directly. You only use about 30% of the potential energy when you take natural gas and convert it to electricity and then wow. use it. So, and then also, too, natural gas is cheaper, right? The data shows that natural gas is about 3 times less expensive than electricity. Most of that is because they're converting natural gas to electricity. So you got to pay for the natural gas and then pay to get it converted. And so we really feel like this is going to hurt Americans in their pocketbook with the policies this administration is pushing forward.
Well, I want to take that a step further and talk about some state governments that are also joining in. But let me say this. First of all, one of the things that really shocked a lot of people, but then was quickly forgotten, I think, was this past fall, President Biden actually invoked a Cold War era law. He basically used the War Power Productions Act, the Defense Production Act of 1950, which is generally designed to help, you know, push private sector businesses to help support a massive war effort. And he declared a national emergency on climate change. And then using the Defense Production Act, he began to force green energy technologies, which is like doing things like moving to electric heaters as opposed to gas appliances. I mean, this is not just a, hey, we'd like to do a different thing. This is a forcing of the issue.
Yes. And it's, you know, I hate to say it's laughable, but for him to have to go to those drastic measures shows that the market is not moving this way. He shows he has to step in and make those drastic steps to get his policy across. I mean, consumers know what they want. Like, you know, there's an argument we're going back and forth about related to higher efficiency gas furnaces. Well, those, and what this administration is trying to do is make everybody buy this high efficiency gas furnace. But if you live in Alabama, you know, it gets cold, especially where you are in North Alabama. But like you're not using your furnace as much as somebody in Minnesota. And yeah. Those folks in Minnesota are already using more efficient appliances. And so if this administration would just take a step back, let consumers and the market drive, you know, I think we'd be better off. And honestly, you would see more people using energy efficient appliances. It's just the right people using those appliances.
Well, you make a great point there about the private sector. I've said on the show multiple times, the market will self-correct towards the better mousetrap. It will. The one mousetrap manufacturer may fight it and hold on for a while, but if there's truly a better mousetrap, the market will self-correct and move towards the better mousetrap. And when you force it, you create a false market. And what's happening right now is we're literally seeing a forcing towards alternative energy sources and a prevention from buying that which is the most efficient, in this case, gas. And it literally creates a false market that can fall out because it was not where the private sector saw the better mousetrap. It was where they were told they had to buy a mousetrap.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And unfortunately, this is a more expensive mousetrap.
Yeah, well, there's that too. Well, but that's one of the things that bugs me is they get on there and they start talking. I mean, I say they. I'm talking about the Biden administration when they give, like Secretary Granholm will give her great energy pronouncements about this is going to wind up saving the taxpayers so much and reducing our carbon footprint. But when you nug down into it, you find out over the life of the appliance, you might save $3. And it just... It just boggles the mind how they can, with a straight face, continue to say, let's get away from gas. Listen, yeah. What we're also seeing, though, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this, is there are some states that are taking this even going a step further. I think it's the state of New York. Governor Hochul signed legislation, and it may have been an executive order actually, that prevents like gas stoves and other gas appliances from being put into new construction. You're tracking that at the state level too, I guess, aren't you?
Yes, we're definitely tracking that, and it's in, you know, I don't know. She may not admit it, but she's second to this. This actually happened in California a few years back. The city of Berkeley decided that they thought it was a great idea to ban. It was definitely in new construction, but still ban natural gas hookups. And so it's just a crazy policy that I don't know what they're trying to prove, but it definitely is not good for the consumers. I mean, there's a couple things, right? We talked about the affordability aspect, but we also talked about the consumer choice. And what's crazy is you look at the policy in New York, which, you know, we are not a party to it, but we know some that have brought litigation against the state, and they actually brought litigation against the city of Berkeley, some stakeholders or some, you know, aggrieved parties brought litigation against the city of Berkeley, and they won. Basically, the Ninth Circuit ruled that Berkeley can't ban natural gas hookups. And so, you know, we're hoping for a similar ruling in New York, but even still, and that's still playing out in the court, so that hadn't quite been decided just yet. But even still, like, as she worked on that policy, you know, you look at the list of exemptions, and it's very long because she realized it's crazy. You know, they basically exempted everybody but the homeowner. And so, you know, I think it may have been said in her cruise or somebody said, you know, good for thee, but not for me. I mean, it is almost hypocritical what you see some of these policymakers doing by these policies, because they either they can afford electric heat, for instance, even though most people can, but they have enough money to do it. Are they still using their gas and just banning it for new construction? It's interesting.
Well, it's interesting, but it's also dismaying, because I don't think that the consumer is being considered here. I think what they're looking at is they have an agenda as opposed to a statesmanlike view of how to take care of the people that they allegedly serve. Hey, Stuart, we got about a minute and a half left, and I just wanted to ask you, I don't know if this is one of the things that your association tracks. I mean, I know you're the American Public Gas Association, dealing a lot of times with the utilities level, but the recent export ban on liquefied natural gas, is that something that you're seeing, dealing with, or working the issue on?
So we are more focused on domestic policy, but it just fits the narrative. This is an administration that their solution does not include natural gas. Their solution does not include, you know, any kind of fossil fuel. And so they're taking all the steps they think they should take to push, you know, both here domestically and globally away from, you know, what we would argue is an affordable fuel. It's a clean fuel. It's an efficient fuel. And it's what we need to have reliable energy for our homes and businesses. And so it's just another kind of signal that they're going to go do what the special interests tell them to do.
Well, listen, I'm glad there's organizations out there in the fight. And I know that there are some times when you look at it and go, man, if a new administration come in, we might have an easier row to hoe. But then again, there's a reason why y'all exist. And Stuart Salters, Vice President of Governmental Relations for the American Public Gas Association. Man, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to share. Have a good one.
All right, you too, man. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. I ran long intentionally just to make sure I had as much time with him as possible, but we'll take the break right now. I'll come right back, have a short segment, catch up on a few text messages, and then I'll carry this on into the second half hour of the last hour of the Fri-Yay show. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.